Sometimes as an artist, I'm so dismayed when I see the old master, and they were old masters, great in what they did, but their portrayal of Jesus, in most cases, leaves so much to be desired. They present him so weak and so even at times effeminate, and he was mighty. He was, even as a man walking the earth, a carpenter who worked with his hands, he was a man's man. He was not in any way confused about his gender. Amen? And he is the mighty warrior of God. He is the captain of the host of heaven. And he is coming one day to put down all of his enemies and crush all opposition underneath his feet. I want to be on the side that is not the opposition. Amen?
Amen.
Chapter 3 of Colossians, where we left off last week, we're going to overlap because we read those first four verses last week. If then you were raised with Christ, we said this last week, say, I was raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What things which are above? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. Say, I died. For you died. You say, I didn't know I died. say,
I died.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, circle that word life, you note takers. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, so all of that greatness now pivots and says there's something to be done. Therefore what? Therefore if I died. And therefore if I really was raised. Now sometimes we still don't understand, how can I be dead? How could I have died and I still act the way I do? If I died with Christ, why do I still struggle with sin? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. That just means every part of your body. Therefore, put to death. Oh, I thought I died. You know, if I go into a courtroom and a verdict is reached about something, and the judge issues that verdict, that doesn't mean that instantly everything is accomplished. Papers have to be filed. Magistrates have to be notified. Things have to be set out. Maybe there's an inheritance involved. And there's a ruling concerning that inheritance. That doesn't mean, even though you possess it legally that day, that doesn't mean you've gotten all of the money and all of the land until it's transferred into your possession, and you go and you walk on it and you take possession of it. Amen? If someone writes me a large check, I now possess the $50,000 check they wrote me, in case you were thinking about it. So, I now possess that $50,000 check, but I don't have the money or the ability to use it until I go to the bank and I deposit it in the bank and I begin to spend it on the things for which I want to purchase. Amen? I died with Christ. The old man died with Christ. We'll come back to this in a moment. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And now there's going to be a couple of lists that we're going to see. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, by the way, there are two categories. This first category is moral sins or sexual sins. The second category are social sins. And these are the things that we are to put to death and we are to put off. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, notice this, those of you who maybe call yourselves Christians, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, but God this morning said to me, your biggest task this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit is to inspire believers to hate sin. To hate sin, not just to say, oh Lord, forgive me, but to hate sin the way that God hates sin. And so we have this list that says, because of these things, look at this, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Beloved, listen to me for a moment. We tolerate today in the Western church what was appalling to the early church. That which we tolerate in the church today and even consider normal in many Christians' lives was not heard of. It was not tolerated. I will say it that way. It wasn't that it wasn't heard of. But these things were driven out. Paul said, don't let fornication even be named once among the people of God. That's how strongly God felt about it and put this list before us this morning. And we make it a pet. We make sin a pet that we want to keep and we want to stroke it. We want to take care of it and then we want to drag it on a leash into church and come before God and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again, I'm sorry again, I'm sorry again. But we still have the pet on the leash and we go in and out of the church with the pet that we stroke and that we love and that we cherish. I'm going to jump subject for a moment. I was in Home Depot this week. You know, my car is alive. And the steering wheel has this tug when I get near Home Depot. It just starts pulling. I'll be driving by, I'll come out, oh no, it's doing it again. I just have to fight against it today. But it won the other day, and I had to go to Home Depot. And I was in the Home Depot, and the entire front section, you know this. I mean, it's like an acre now. It gets bigger every year that the front half of Home Depot is a graveyard. Because we're getting close to Halloween. I mean, skeletons that are 20 feet tall. It's like, how much more can we pack in of death? I know that that's a pet for many of you, and I know that it's a touchy subject, but I'm just going to tell you, I get disgusted. I mean, it's all year long with some people, but I get disgusted, especially at Halloween, when I see a culture that's fascinated with death. That loves death. Why do we love death? Why is it that we want to celebrate death? Why is it that we want skulls everywhere? We think they're cool and they put them on clothing everywhere, but let me just tell you something. Stop and think. Think with the Holy Spirit's thoughts about the things that you do and that you like. Why would you love death? Why would you love images of death rather than images of life? If you fill the store with images of life, people would walk right by and they would be bored by it and they would not be attracted. But put a giant skull or put skulls all over the clothing and what do? Oh, let me grab it up. Let me buy it. Let me wear it. Why? Why would you be fascinated and drawn to images of death? The very thing that is the result of sin. The very thing that means destruction. The very thing that Jesus died to be victorious over. So think about it this way. I walk through Home Depot and there's a whole graveyard in the front symbolizing the very thing that my Lord went to the cross to have victory over. In fact, He trampled it under His feet. And we build it up. We make the skeletons 20 feet tall. Jesus trampled it under His feet. I want to just give you some thoughts about this morning. Because it ties in with what we are looking at today. You know, in the world, listen, because you're going to have to think about this. In the world, life comes first and then death. Death is the end. In the world, life comes first and then death. But in the kingdom of God, which is an upside down kingdom, you don't live until you die. I died with Christ. Therefore, I live. In the world, you live and then you die. In the word of God and in the kingdom of God, you die and then you live. And you've not lived until you die. You've not experienced real life until you die. I think about Ezekiel in that grand and glorious vision and reality even, where God picked him up and took him and put him before this big boneyard. It was nothing but bones from a slain people. A slain people. And God gave him a vision. He began to see the bones coming back together, bone to bone. And then he began to put sinew over the bones and muscles over the bones and skin and eyes. And they stood like a mighty army. They had shields and swords, everything that you would need to fight, but they didn't have breath. God showed him, he started with death, because until you die to self, until you die, you don't fully live and you don't have the power of God. And he told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to these dead bones. Prophesy to these dead bones, Ezekiel. And I can imagine Ezekiel just timidly at first, but then knowing that he's heard God, he steps forth and he begins to prophesy. And the Bible says that he cried out, come, wind, come, breath of God, and blow upon these dead, dry bones. And the bones raised up and became a mighty army and was filled with the breath of God. He had to prophesy again that they would be filled with breath in order to be fully alive to God. Because death comes first and then comes life. You should be excited this morning. You've let sin reign and rule in your body. Some of you lately have been experiencing a revival. That means you're now agreeing with this, that even though it happened in heaven, even though the Bible says, I am seated with God, with Christ in heavenly places, now it has to happen in manifestation, in reality, in my life. And therefore I have to believe it, and I have to walk in it, and I have to agree with God, and I have to put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, which means feelings that are out of control, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because why would you say I died with Christ? Why would you say I'm a believer? Why would you say I'm a Christian and still you have these pets? When it says here the wrath of God is unleashed against those who walk in those things, which, see, he's talking to the church here. He said, which you yourselves once walked in, not now. It's unheard of that the church would be walking in them now. It's time to agree with the Word of God. It's time to either take up what the Word says or put it down and leave God altogether alone. Because He hates lukewarmness. And He says to the church in Laodicea, I will spew you out of my mouth. What horrendous thoughts that the Lord has unleashed and has such thoughts against those who walk in these things. And yet we embrace it in the church. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You know, when I go to Macy's or I go to Walmart, I see changing rooms. If I'm going to put on clothes, if I'm going to try on new clothes, I need a changing room. I don't go in. I know you can. Some people do it to steal. But I don't go in and put new clothes on over old clothes. Why do you think they put changing rooms in stores? So that when you go in, you can put on a new suit of clothes. But first, what do? You have to take off the old one. You cannot wear new clothes on top of old clothes spiritually. You can't put the new suit on top of the old suit and wear both. God does not allow it. He doesn't sanction it. He doesn't authorize it. He does not recognize it. Oh my gosh. Help us, Lord. I'm going to repeat that because I don't think you've gotten it. God does not sanction, authorize, condone, or agree with, or allow for you to put on a new robe of righteousness on top of an old, filthy suit of clothes and continue in both.
Right.
And we're going to read that he says, put off the old before you put on the new. First, he said, put to death all of those things. Let me just tell you, let you in on a little something here. I know we say it. We just say things because we get in the habit of it. I've done it too, and I do it. The old man is not the same thing as the flesh nature. You don't have to actually kill the old man. Jesus already did it on the cross. That's why he says here, I died. The old man is already put to death. The flesh nature has to be subdued. It is an ongoing battle. The next section where we continue. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. All these. Anger. These are the social sins. These are in the same line as the sexual and moral sins. They're not... We are to put them off. We don't have to walk in them. Listen closely to me. It is not just a forever trying to improve yourself. It is expected by the Lord that you put these off when you're born again. That you stop walking in them. Now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice. See, these are things, these are the old suit. Christians don't wear these. You yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Oh my gosh, filthy language. Filthy language, it's fill the church language. Fill the church with filthy language. Today, it's pastors in the pulpit using filthy language. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have what? Put off the old man. It was crucified with Christ. It's expected. That is, these are things that when you're born again, you decide. And I know you can say, but Pastor Mark, yes, you may fail. But I am just telling you, get out of your mind that it's a self-help, self-improvement ride from here to heaven, and that you slowly work on these things. Put them off, he said. Stop sinning. Stop sexual sins. That includes pornography. Stop sexual sins. Stop social sins. That means stop hating your neighbor. Stop being unforgiving. Stop lying to one another. Stop being filled with malice and anger. Because you died. Because you're a Christian. Doesn't it ever put you to shame when you see someone, those that you rarely see today, but you do, when you see those people that were just really, really out there bad in our eyes? We were all bad. But when you see those that life has about destroyed and the devil has torn them up, and God gets a hold of them, and overnight they are radically transformed. You've seen a few in your life. And suddenly they're in the church and they're on fire for God, and it convicts you. You know why? Because it shows what God can do in someone who really believes. It shows what God can do in someone filled with the Holy Spirit. It shows what God can do when we really mean it and we love Him.
Yes.
And we say that we are a believer and we don't want to bring shame to His name. And we don't want to keep going saying, oh God, I did the same thing again. I did the same thing again. Oh Lord, I keep looking at pornography. Oh Lord, I keep doing these things. He says, put these off. It's a new suit of clothes. It's a new suit that the Lord gives you. Mighty quiet. The righteousness of Christ. He gives it to you. It's a free gift. But no, you want to go down to Macy's and you want to go in and you've been out in the yard working all day and you've been under the car working on the automobile and you've got grease all over you and you've got black everywhere. And you go into Macy's and it's so pristine and clean. It's just so clean in Macy's. Those white tile floors. If you had that in your house, you couldn't keep it clean. And you go around to the changing rooms with this, oh, I like this white shirt and these white pants. I think I'll go in and try them on. And you go in with your grease monkey body and you put a white suit clothes over them and you say, oh, don't I look nice? You look stupid. Amen?
Yeah.
That's how we look spiritually. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. With his deeds, the old man. You have put off the old man. Say, I have put off the old man. Don't lie. I have put off the old man. How did you do that? How do you come into that place? You know, when we have these words up here, they can be out of focus, and then all you have to do is turn one little dial over here, and that blur starts to come into focus. And that's what the Christian life is like. All of these things are out of focus, but God wants to, He just wants to do a little tweaking in your heart until it comes into focus so you see with clarity, and you're able to live and walk in clarity with what God's Word says. And sometimes we're like, but I don't understand. If I died with Christ, how do I do this? Well, in Romans 6, and you've heard me years ago, maybe not lately, but I've preached on this before. Turn to Romans 6. We'll come back to our passage. I'm going to jump in at verse 9. You know what? I was going to do that. Go back to verse 8 because it overlaps what we've been reading. Now, if we died with Christ, say, I died with Christ. We believe. Say, we believe. That we shall also live with Him. Knowing. I want those of you who take notes to underline or circle. Knowing. Because there are three things here that you have to do. The first one is knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. How many of you know He's the pattern? He's not just Son of God and not just God, He's pattern man. He's the pattern. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Say, death no longer has dominion over me.
Death no longer has dominion over
me. Why? Because I died already. For the death that He died in sin, I died to sin once for all.
But the life that he lives to God. It's a pattern. Likewise, you also. The second word, first was knowing. The second is reckon. It's a good old southern word, except it has powerful impact here in the Word of God. It's a legal word. It says to reckon something. It's a faith word. It means to totally count that this thing is true. Believe that it's true. And the South is, well, I reckon so, honey. I reckon that's a pretty dark cloud on the horizon. But not in the Word of God. Reckon means that I count it to be so, whether I feel it or not. Put your feelings on the back burner in all things spiritual. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. You see, it's an upside down kingdom. You can't get those things put off. You can't quit sinning in your own strength. You don't have the power over it in your own strength. You can't get free from it in your own strength. It will continue to harass you, and it will continue. Do you remember what God told Cain in the very first chapters of history? Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to master you. It desires to have dominion over you. It's a beast. That's what sin is. But you have to see it that way. And you have to believe that that's what it is. And you have to know that you are no match for sin, but God is.
Yes, He is.
And the only way you get free is starting upside down. You start by believing. You start by knowing and then by reckoning. You reckon it to be so in your own life. In other words, by faith, I accept the fact that I died with Christ. It does not totally make sense to me, but I accept the fact and I believe with my heart, not just my thoughts. With my heart, I embrace it and believe it. I died with Christ. Now that means I'm going to stake my life on this.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
That's what belief is. That's what faith is. I'm not going to be wishy-washy about it and get up tomorrow morning and say, well, I don't know. I kind of thought about that, and I don't know that I understand it, and I don't know that I believe. No. This is a settled issue in my life. Jesus took me to the cross before I was ever born. And I died with Him. And now I have to appropriate it in my life. It's a check He wrote. He wrote the check for 50,000. No. He wrote the check for an eternal life.
Amen.
And when I came to Him in faith and was born again, He gave me the check. Oh my gosh. Lord Jesus, help us. How many of you are walking around with the check in your back pocket and you never have cashed it? You have to know and then you have to reckon. That's a faith word. Believe, reckon ourselves, yourselves, He says, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we go any further, I'm going to come back to this later. I'm weaving something, a tapestry. And I want you to envision the throne of God. Just take you back to praise and worship, because some of you were envisioning the throne of God in all of its beauty, all of His glory. And there's a river that flows from the throne of God. It's a river of life, not death, not skeletons, not bones. Skeletons and bones are emblems of your old life because you died. But what comes from the throne of God is a river of life.
Hallelujah.
Life that begins now.
Yes.
And lives throughout all of eternity. Eternal life. Just keep that thought in your mind for a moment. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God.
alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, now it's going to kind of overlap what we've been reading in Colossians. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Therefore, do not let sin reign. If there's one room in your heart that Jesus is not ruling in, sin is reigning in that area of your life. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. That means you're still, this is still the thought of reckoning. You're coming to Christ believing that He raised you from the dead. Let me say it this way. Believing that any struggle with sin that you have still, and you do have a struggle with the flesh nature, and you must subdue it. But any struggle that you have with the flesh nature and any failures, any times that you fall and fail, they're not your normal life. See, here's the problem with a lot of Christians. They say they believe in the Lord, but they've accepted sin as normality. It is not the normal Christian life. It is the exception. When you fall, when you fail, when you sin, it is the exception. And it, because it is the exception, and you know that you died with Christ, and you love Him with all of your heart, then you just walk straight into the throne room of God, and you say, forgive me, Lord, and I'm turning with all of my heart the best that I can. I'm turning, but I need your help. And it's not your normal Christian life. It's not normal for you to sin. It's not something that, it's no longer a pet on a leash. It's a wolf that attacks sometimes when you're not aware. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But here we go with the third word. Present. You have to know that you die. You have to reckon that it's so. That means with all of faith in your heart, you believe it. You reckon it so. And you present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. You present yourself. You present yourself to God. You present yourself to the Lord to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Change me. Drive out those things that aren't pleasing to you. Like David, when he said, Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in my heart. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So you present your body. You present yourself wholeheartedly every day to the Lord to say, use me, Lord. For sin, look at this wonderful, wonderful verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That is the promise of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. You're not having, if you were under law, let me just explain this, and I want to leave it. If you were under law, that means for righteousness, that means you would be trying to improve yourself. You'd be trying to live up to the law. You'd be trying to change yourself and to bring yourself into a place of more righteousness by doing good works and by keeping the law. That's not how it works. Once again, you present yourself as having died on the cross and needing the help of God, depending on His Holy Spirit, and let God, let Christ, who now lives in you, live through you and change you and bring forth new life. Go back with me to Colossians. There's a river that comes from the throne of God. It's a river of life. There's a river that comes from death. It's a river of sin and destruction. Which place do you want to be? See, these words were written at a time in Greek society when the mythology of the day was that they believed in death as the river Styx, S-T-Y-X. Those of you who are old enough to have lived in the 70s and 80s will remember pop songs by Styx, the group. S-T-Y-X. They were named after the River of Death. And in Greek mythology, Styx was the river of death that one crossed over when they died. And every person who died would cross the river Styx to get to the other side. Unfortunately, the other side was not heaven, like our concept. It was a dark, shadowy world of murky and a place of fear. But it was better than staying on this side of the river Styx if you died. Let me explain that, because when you died, according to their belief, you had to pay the ferryman who would take you on the ferry boat across to the other side. You couldn't cross the river Styx without paying. And so every Greek person who died had a coin, a little coin, put in their mouth, because they knew and they understood that nothing comes without a cost. And so when they died, they would have the coin to present to the ferryman, whose name was Charon. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, Charon. So they would pay Charon to carry them on the ferry across the river Styx. If they did not have a coin, they were doomed to stay on this side of the river, dead, wandering about for 100 years before they could cross the river Styx. Isn't it amazing how people think that we believe something far-fetched?
Yeah.
The book of Revelation tells me that there's a far greater river. There's a river that flows from the throne of God. And the cost, there is a cost for everything. And there is a cost for sin. Jesus paid that price on the cross of Calvary. And there's a river that flows from the throne of God, and we are able to come into that river. It is the river of life that comes from Christ Himself. And we put on Christ, and we don't have to wait until we die, because we already died. Physical death is nothing. We already died, and we died with Christ, and we died in Christ, and He now comes and lives in us. And it says, as we go back to this chapter that we're reading, as we go back to the place in Colossians, in verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. How do you get there? First of all, you know, and then you reckon, and then you present. And it says here, you put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. That's the renewing of the mind by what knowledge? The Word of God. In knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is, it's so powerful that it even obliterates. It doesn't just obliterate most sins or some sins. It even obliterates the racial barriers, the lines that cause us to have hatred against one another. We've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. And in Galatians he says, nor male nor female, but Christ is all in all, praise God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you are beloved by God. Put on the new thing, but you have to take off the old. After having put off, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, oh Lord, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then he says, and this is not to be diminished, because I want to hone in on this at the end of this message. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Let me read a little bit further and I'll come back to that. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you don't know the word of God, how are you going to be renewed in your mind? How are you going to have the fullness of that living within you? Teaching and admonishing one another. This, you know, this is what church is supposed to be right here. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are those songs that arise among the people just by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Not a song that you ever knew. Some may be singing in tongues, some just singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it flows together and it's the most beautiful thing you ever heard. Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let me just tell you that if you can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you don't need to be doing it.
That's right.
If you cannot do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you don't need to be doing it.
Right.
Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I believe this will be a word for somebody this morning. You're worried. You're anxious. And every time your husband or your wife says something wrong, then you just come unglued. Or the circumstance that bombards you during the week and you just panic. You need to guard peace with God. Number one, you need to guard peace all the time. You don't need to let any, I want you to picture it back by the pond in Georgia. I could sit and I could look and on a still day, it's not a ripple. Not a ripple. And then some days, if you're fishing, you throw your line out, the cork is bobbing on the surface of the water, and then some wind begins to come up. And there's ripples all over the water, and you can't even see the cork anymore. There's so many ripples and reflections bouncing. So much turbulence. You can't see something that you could see when there were no ripples. You need to keep your soul so still. It's so calm that you can always see what God is doing. And when trouble comes, that it can't disturb the surface of that water on the inside. Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. The storm comes, your boat is just still. Because you're guarding peace with God. Peace with God. Let me tell you, you don't have peace with God when you're in turmoil and panic. You need to learn to guard peace. When you want to lash out at somebody because you think it's their fault, take time to get alone and get your peace with God. And then you can begin to know what to do. If you don't know what direction to go in something, pray. And you may not hear some specific word from God, but you may know that I have peace about this direction. I don't have peace about this direction. So choose the direction with which you have peace with God. Because He leads in peace. Guard your peace. I don't care if the house burns down. We have a friend in Georgia who had an old house that years ago they had remodeled, but it truly was an old house from many years ago and needed a lot of work. And they just built around it and over it and remodeled it and made it into a good home. And about a year ago, It burned down. It burned in the night. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy, and her dog died in the fire. He woke her up. And she thought he was coming out behind her. And she realized that she couldn't go back in. The fire was so great. So her dog burned in the fire. What a tragedy. That really can shake you, can it? And I don't know how she felt in those first moments. I know it was tough. But now, a year later, the insurance is paid, and she has built a brand new, beautiful home, far nicer than what she had before. She lost a lot of stuff, and that's what she said it was. Now that she can look back, she said, my closets are clean and organized for the first time. She said, I don't have a bunch of stuff anymore. And she said, how God can take something and turn it into such a blessing. How amazing it is. She said, I love my new house and my new life. In the moment when tragedy is happening, you can't see what good God's going to bring. Guard your peace. Guard your peace. So if I can leave you with anything this morning, know that you died. Reckon it. Bank your life on it. Believe it to be so. Present yourself, your body, as an instrument of God, of righteousness, and allow Him to do the work in you. Don't try to wear 2 suits of clothes, because God will allow it. He won't condone it, and He won't sanction it. You can't put the old on over the new on over the old and wear both. He says you're either a new man or you're an old man. You're either the one before you went under the waters of baptism, or you're the one on this side of that river. So make up your mind which side it's going to be. Which side are you going to live on? Then or now? Then or now? Guard your peace. Guard your peace. Amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Almighty God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, my prayer always before You. Help us, Lord, and help Your people, Lord God, to retain. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would make every heart a retainer for the things of God, a repository for the things of God, a library for the knowledge of God, a temple for the Spirit of God, a dwelling place for the Lord God Almighty. Lord, that when we walk out of this place today, these words that are not my words, they are Your words, these words would be anchored in the soul and the spirit of every person here, and that they would be seed, living, you know, seed when it dies, then it produces life, that it would be seed that produces life in every heart, and that, Lord, You would help us to bring our lives into focus and alignment with Your Word. It says that we died. And what does that mean in each life? Lord, I thank You, Holy Spirit, come. Blow fresh wind. If there's any dead bones in here today, breathe. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon these that are slain. Breathe upon these that are slain. And raise them up, Lord, to be a mighty army for You. Lord, don't let the fires of revival be some little flicker in the midst of Your people here. Trim the wicks, Lord God, and let the flames burn even more brightly this week. Complete that good work that You have begun. In Jesus' mighty, precious, and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.